So for our work segment this morning, I'd like to try something a little bit different. Samuel Colbert, good morning.
Good morning.
And Natasha Turk, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Both of you, I want you to just pretend that I'm your boss, okay? All right? All right, and we're sitting down in the office, Sam, Natasha. Both of you, I'd really like to talk with you about some issues that we're having with your performance on the team. Samuel, when I say that, how does that make you feel?
What can I say to stop you?
Natasha, how do you feel when I say that?
I'm just hoping that you're well prepared for the conversation. I look forward to, you know, hearing more about what you have to say in a well-documented way.
All right. Natasha Turk is a business communication and management consultant. She's the author of Writing Performance Reviews, How to Write Performance Objectives, Reviews, and Other Performance Documentation that is clear, specific, and effective in today's workplace. She's on the line from San Francisco, California. And on the line from L.A., Samuel Colbert is author of Get Rid of the Performance Review, How Companies Can Stop Intimidating, Start Managing, and Focus on What Really Matters. So, Sam, you're not into this whole performance review idea.
Absolutely not. Performance reviews are dishonest, and they're just plain bad management. They're dishonest because there's one person telling you how the whole company sees you. All we got to do is get a different boss. You get a different review.
Now,
and
Sam, does this opinion come from a particular experience you've had that you want to share, or do you just reject the whole idea?
No, there's studies. You know that. Everybody knows that. That's people's experience. Otherwise, there would be no low performers because nobody could get a job. So each person succeeded somewhere else. It's just foolhardy to think that one self-interested boss can give somebody else objective feedback and pretend that the whole company sees that individual that way. It's ridiculous.
Natasha Turk, I gather you don't entirely agree with what Samuel is saying here.
Not entirely. I mean, I think that they can always be done better. People don't generally know how to write performance documentation. And so they use vague language and they use terms that aren't clear. Sometimes they're even biased. But if people really sat down, learned how to write an objective, specific review that includes examples and metrics, people would get the kind of feedback that would be valuable to actually improve performance.
Well, let's get specific then, Natasha. You were sort of describing when I said we have some issues, Natasha, I'd like to talk about them. You were saying, I hope you're prepared for this conversation. What kinds of things very specifically would you be looking for?
Well, I would assume, I'm hoping that my boss took notes, for example, throughout the year about my performance, about what I did well, and where I could improve, and that he or she is coming to that conversation having taken notes about, again, about my performance, but also that we've had these conversations along the way so that there aren't any surprises in that conversation, but that, again, he or she has a really good idea of what just needs to be put in writing, because the performance review is simply the moment where you take all those thoughts and you put them in your organization's form. But nothing in it is really a surprise.
You know, the problem for me is hasn't been that my boss wasn't prepared, although I agree that, you know, each boss has their own take. But my problem, Dr. Colbert, is that, you know, I had a job for a number of years in which each time I'd go in for my performance review and my boss would say, you know, I'd like to give you a 5 in all of these categories, but if I did that, I'd have to give you a raise and I'm not allowed to do that.
That's right. That's right. No, the issue isn't how the boss sees you. The issue is, are you getting results for the company? And the boss's job should not be to evaluate you. The boss's job is to make sure and help you to succeed. The boss, this is a trust-destroying, intimidating practice that's just plain bad management in companies.
Well, but let's just have a meeting, Sam, and let's talk about, all right, I want you to succeed. Here are my suggestions. You wouldn't have a problem with that, would you?
Absolutely. If we're only talking about me and we're not talking about us as a team that's supposed to get the performance, and it's only about me and I'm the only person accountable on any criteria that the boss wants to cite, that's ridiculous. It is not.
Wait, I'm not clear. So you don't.
Our chemistry. the boss and me. It's just like a marriage. If it's going to be a team, it's not me being a certain way I'm supposed to be. It is how the two of us are going to interact and work together to get the results before there are any disappointments.
I see.
Don't want to talk about disappointments. I want to talk about the company getting what it needs and both being paid to get it.
All right, a conversation kind of on an equal level. Well, Natasha Turk, talk a little bit about programs like Six Sigma, which are widely popular in the corporate world, which attempt to evaluate all kinds of performance questions. But under Six Sigma, the idea there is every year you're supposed to fire the people in the bottom 12%. How do you keep managers from just sort of shuttling the people they hate into the bottom 12% and then axing them under something like Six Sigma?
People are terminated for lots of different reasons. I mean, if it's a performance-based termination, that's actually where there should be performance documentation, because not only does the employee need a chance to see where they are not meeting their objectives, but they also that needs to be in writing in case you ever end up in court in a wrongful termination suit. So that's yet another reason that there should be performance documentation telling the employee where they're doing well and where, if anywhere, they absolutely need to improve or there will be a consequence.
Any just quick advice on how these can be less awkward? Natasha, very quickly, and then Sam.
Give the employee a chance to prepare and make sure there are absolutely no surprises, and give managers training and how to make the best out of what can be a difficult situation.
All right, Natasha Turk, business communication and management consultant, author of Writing Performance Reviews. You know, I'd go with catering also. Sam, quick sort of takeaway here.
Yeah. Get rid of the review and start talking about what you really need to do together to get results for the company. This is ridiculous, this review thing.
Samuel Colbert, who certainly would have the guts to say that to his boss, get rid of the performance review, how companies can stop intimidating, start managing, and focus on what really matters. Thanks, guys.
Give us your stories about performance reviews and whether you would abolish them or improve them. Tell us by heading to our site, thetakeaway.org. You can find us at facebook.com/thetakeaway. I'm Celeste Headlee.
You know, I think that was a really good conversation. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.